Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. This is a ministry of our little church in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. We pray that it is a blessing to you in your spiritual growth. These are recorded from the Sunday morning sermons. God bless, God keep you. I was thinking on, 40 years and been thinking on some of these different things, and I hope it doesn't feel like it's been 40 years in the wilderness, but it sometimes does kind of feel like it's been 40 years in the wilderness. But we're, even in the time that the Israelites spent in the wilderness, it was 40 years of learning what? To trust in God. And like all of us, we probably falter more than we care to admit. And we're probably thankful that there's not someone like Moses writing down all our failures and keeping it in the record for all of time. But as they have progressed through, we see, well, let's read the text and then we'll kind of unpack what those times are like. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, and if you would, out of respect for God's word, would you stand with me? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and have good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pause for prayer. Father, just thankful you've given us this time together. I thank you for each one that's come and to worship together and to fellowship together and to praise you, God, because you have been faithful. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on you and your promises, oh God. And so I ask you, Lord, to guide my words and thoughts to accurately teach your word. I pray, Lord, that you be in the children's chapel and your spirit to move there, sowing seeds of the gospel, Lord, that would produce fruit in the fertile soil of those young lives, O Lord. We ask that the lost would be saved, that lives would be transformed, your name be praised. Lord, we do not want to squander this opportunity in your presence and to come away unchanged and unmoved by your word and your spirit. Forgive us of the ways we fail you. Turn away the distractions, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, the mighty King and the conquering hero and our closest friend, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So even after 40 years in the wilderness, you can tell in these words that there's a little apprehension. There is a concern. The death of Moses, the servant of God, that's kind of a big deal. Moses had been the leader of this nation of Israel since its birth. Literally. He was there when the Lord brought them out of slavery and brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, brought them to himself at Mount Sinai. Moses was there all the way. And when the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land, Moses turned away from the promised land and went with them back into the wilderness until that entire generation would die off. Everyone that day who was 20 years old and over, except for two, died in the wilderness. Which means that everybody who had much of a memory of Egypt died in the wilderness. So that God would have a people, a nation of fairly young individuals who would not have all those ties to Egypt. But they would be, the wilderness was their home. For better or worse, that was home. So that was disorienting in and of itself. Moses, who had always been there, has passed away, and the Lord buried him on a mountain there just outside of the camp. And in the 40 years since they had turned away from the promised land didn't empty itself. It's still just filled with those same big cities, big enemies, and all of that. So now do you see where this is a time of fear, a time of uncertainty, a time of an unknown. What do we have? We don't have what it takes, is what the people were saying. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we kind of feel that way oftentimes, especially on a Monday morning maybe. It's like, oh, I don't have what it takes. I feel like a pilgrim in a foreign land. What do I do? We go to what the Lord tells Joshua here. And that's where we'll pull on some of these strings a little later. But the Lord had been preparing Joshua. He's one of those two people of that generation to survive, him and Caleb. They're the only two survivors. And you want to think about that. Guessing at how old they were, they are 20 years older than everybody else around them. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? All their friends, everyone they grew up with, they're gone. Just the two of them. And Joshua and Caleb were the two spies who said, no, the Lord is able. And they would see the Lord fulfill that promise. But the Lord had been working in Joshua's life before that and after that. He'd been there with Moses on Mount Sinai. He'd been by Moses' side throughout many of these events. And the Lord had already set him apart and said, this is your next person. It's one of the occasions when Moses says, Lord, if I'm not leading the children of Israel into the promised land, send a shepherd who will bring them in. Who will you send? And the Lord said, it'll be Joshua. But even with that endorsement, if you read between the lines here, you can tell Joshua's a little scared because he's always had Moses. And so it's significant. The Lord always spoke to Moses, tell Joshua. But this time the Lord speaks to Joshua. The Lord speaks to Joshua and tells him these things. And so I want to emphasize that point because he's not just speaking to Joshua, he's speaking to all of us. This is for all of us to know. And there's four I statements that I wanted to emphasize in what he says here in these verses. Verses 2 and following. And one of those is that he says, I just realized I'm using my old notes, so Scott has better notes than I do right now. But it says here that you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them. I am giving. They don't have to do it on their own. They just have to walk in obedience to what God is telling them. I have given. It's the Lord who will do it. And I think if you look back, and as you've been seeing the pictures and as we'll see in the video later, it's the Lord who has always been the one who has done. I have given you. And as you're going to see, He will continue to give. He continues to be faithful. And that's what's going on there in verses 3 and 4. The little geography lesson going on there is that the Lord says, this is what I am giving you. It's a gift. Just walk with me. And in so doing, then you fulfill what the next promise the Lord gives here. Is that there in verse 5, He says, I will be with you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? I will be with you. You're not going alone. It may feel like you're going alone, but you're not going alone. And we on this side of the cross, this side of the resurrection, this side of Pentecost, we have His Holy Spirit indwelling us. He goes with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so we do not go alone. And for Joshua, it's phrased in, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Moses couldn't have done what he'd done if it had not been for the Lord empowering him and comforting him and encouraging him and keeping him through all those trials and tribulations, those 40 years in the wilderness. And so even though we may feel like we're in the wilderness and through trials and tribulations, and I dare say all of us will experience those times, to again, as He was with Moses, so He will be with us. And I want to then finish that sentence there He has in verse 5. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That is an unconditional guarantee. I'm not leaving. We as Baptists, and based on the scriptures, we believe in something called the security of the believer. It is one of the hallmarks of us being who we are. And we believe in that because it's what the scriptures teach. And just to give one example, and it's one that you've probably heard before, but when Jesus promises there in the Good Shepherd that He has His sheep in His hand, and that hand is in the hand of the Father, and so you will not perish. You will not be snatched away. There is security in that. And the security is not on what I do. The security is entirely on Him. But here's the amazing thing, is that security then manifests in what? In us staying with Him. And so it doesn't mean that I just go do whatever, because that would indicate that I don't have Christ in me if I'm just going out and doing whatever. Amen. You know, so here's the thing, and I'm going to be an old man for a minute, so go easy on me. But I've been in this long enough to see where God has kept me, because I've been more than willing to do stupid. I've been more than willing to do sinful, and it is God that has curbed me and turned me back. I think a lot of us are. And so, yeah, there's things in my life I don't like. I regret. But boy, it sure would have been a whole lot worse if God hadn't intervened.
Amen. That is the truth.
And so God has kept me. And so we see here where that is what God has done with the children of Israel and with Joshua. He says, I will not leave you. He's the good shepherd. He's kept us. and I will not forsake you. I will not betray you is another way to translate that. He won't betray us. He will test us. He will challenge us. But he never forsakes his own. Because he is the faithful God in his very character. And then we see where he says there in verse 6, he says, as I swore to their fathers to give them. Part of his character is that he shares those promises with us. He gives us, and I like how the Apostle Paul, in trying to describe the surety, is that, or maybe it's in the letter to the Hebrews, he says God didn't have anything bigger than himself to swear upon, and so he swears upon his own character. It's an immovable thing. And so he swears oaths upon himself that he is the faithful one and he will accomplish what he has come to do. And those promises go deep. So to Joshua, he says, I've kept those promises. And as you read through what the Lord is saying here, you hear echoes of what he promised to Moses and what he promised to Jacob and what he promised to Abraham. And you know, as we looked in our Sunday school class, those promises go all the way from Abraham, Jacob, Moses, to Joshua, to David, to Jesus, and in Jesus to us. So that we have surety. We have confidence. So as I swore to their fathers, he is faithful to his character. He is faithful to his promises. And so based on this, so already I hope that we can pause for a second here and say, all right, so these are times of uncertainty, times that are scary, times that try men's souls, whatever you want to call it. But wait a minute, we have God. Things may be changing, things may be scary, things ain't the way they used to be, but we have God, the faithful one, the unchanging one. The reliable one. I will be with you. I will give you. And I will not leave nor forsake you. You have my word, God says. And so now we can do what? Well, did you notice as I read through it? He instructed Joshua three times to do the same thing. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous, and to be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. He tells Joshua and tells us, as we read over his shoulder, to be strong, to stand strong, to not give up. To be of good courage, because it's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. Because we kind of are going against the flow. The rest of the world is going the other way. Broad is the way. The gate is wide. That goes where? To destruction. And so if you're going to go somewhere besides destruction that everyone else is taking, you're going to have to flip the U-ey and go the other way. And go through the narrow gate and the straight path. It's going to be difficult, but that's where Christ is. And so be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or do not be dismayed. And that word dismayed is just, it's the whole idea of you just want to lie down and hide. And he says, this is not the time for getting down and hiding. It's the time to be strong in the Lord and to move forward. To do what? Well, that's what verses 7 and 8 are there for. He says, be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left. All this strength, all this courage is to what? It's to be obedient to God. It's to follow His commands. And so, all right, well, let's pause for a second here. What commands are we talking about here? Well, what is the greatest commandment when Jesus was asked? Love God. I'm getting there. You're jumping ahead of me. Love God. That's, yeah. With your all. Exactly. You guys are all working together on this. To love the Lord your God with your all. All. That's what all those four things are. And we could unpack that for days. But to love God, to not have other gods before Him, He's the one. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, on these hang all the law, all the commandments. But you know, I've realized in my life, you may recognize this, it's easier for me to say, oh, I can handle that, I'm sure. Well, let's get down into the nuts and bolts of it. And that's why He gave us the Ten Commandments, right? So then there, it's, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. One God, He comes first. He calls the shots. He does whatever He says, I do. Oh, now it's gone. You've gone to meddling, right? Well, it's easier just to feel like He's number one. It's a whole different thing when He actually is number one. And the second one, to not have any idols. And the funny thing about that one is that, well, in order to make us feel better about, oh, I'm obeying God, I make God into what I want Him to be so that He's just the warm, fuzzy one. He's the Santa Claus, or He's the one that doesn't care what I do. Then you've made an idol, and that's not the God of the Bible. Amen. And so we're still doing idolatry, even if we use the same name. Shall we keep going? You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And that's as easy as me saying I'm a Christian, but not living like it. Amen. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. That is probably worse, but still is a sin, than using the Lord's name in vain the way we talk about using His name on our lips in a wrong manner. Because He is holy. He is unique. He is the only righteous one. And then to remember the Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. He is our pleasure. Do I find my rest? Do I find my peace in Him? Or am I looking for something else, other substances to give me that peace? Honor your mother and your father. This is the point in which we say that the commandments shift from vertical to horizontal. Because in our relationship with our parents, showing honor and respect to them, whether they deserve it or not, it's not obey, but it is honor and respect. Amen. Giving honor by the way that we live, the decisions that we make, that reflects well on them, is what sets us up for doing the same with God. But then they are also humans. And that they're the first authority figure God gives us besides Himself. And so it is in that one that we see both dealing with humans as well as setting us up for showing honor and respect. And then, do not murder. Well, I've got one that I haven't done yet. I haven't murdered anyone yet. But then what does Jesus do? He says, but I've been looking in your heart and I saw hate. Oh, okay. So maybe in my heart, that's the problem. Do not commit adultery. God invented sex. He put it in its rightful place. And when we take it outside of that, That's sin. Hey, do not steal. Unfortunately, probably most of us have already done that one too. Especially when we steal the glory and the honor from God that rightfully belongs to Him in any good that I have, in any accomplished that I've done. Shall not bear false witness, to be a people of truth and integrity. Amen. And to not covet. Oh, contentment's one of the hardest things in the world, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God has given us ambition and desire. But when those things become greater than God's commands, then it's become coveting. And we've made an idol, and we've put another god before Him. And so they go full circle. And so, as you saw, you went from the letter of the law to the spirit of the law, and that's where He tells Joshua, you're going to need some strength. You're going to need to be courageous. I want you to meditate on My word day and night. Because the more you think about it, the more it gets involved, doesn't it? Meditate on it. Let it not depart out of your mouth, that you may observe, that you may be conscientious to do according to all that is written in God's word. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And I want to pause for a second just to dig into that point for a minute. Because we all want to be successful. You know, Joshua's standing there and it's like, what's it going to take to be successful? And the Lord just, it may seem subtle to you, but it's significant when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it. He tweaked what it means to be successful, didn't He? It went from being the one who accomplishes all these great things to know the most important thing to be successful at is your relationship with God. Everything else will either fall into place or fall away if you have this one thing. And that's a powerful thing. It is the big thing. Think about Jesus as he talked to Mary and Martha. She has chosen the one thing. The Apostle Paul, who said, forgetting all that's behind and looking forward to these what is ahead, I pursue one thing. It is the one thing, the relationship with God. But if Joshua does that first, his relationship with God, then what happens? He'll be successful. Oh, and they'll also conquer the promised land. But that's almost irrelevant compared to this. Being successful in your relationship with God. And I like that term there he uses. And I will make your way prosperous. I will make it where you can push on down the road, that you will be able to keep on the journey. And, you know, sometimes just pushing on is the biggest accomplishment, to just keep going on the journey with Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. That being able to push on the journey daily, nightly, meditating, pondering, considering, being conscientious to follow God. Not swerve to the ditches, but to stay on the straight and narrow. Then you will have success. And I love how that concludes for us there. Because Joshua is facing uncertainty and fear and the unknown. And the Lord says, it's real simple. Look at me. Just keep your eyes on me. You just follow me. I am that I am, is what he told Moses, right? And he says, just walk with me in my promises, in my character. I'm the faithful one. I'll fulfill those promises. And be strong, be courageous, based on who I am, to do what I command you to do. That's some good words for us, even today.